Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, or smoked-out Pacific Northwest patriots. Man, what a weekend. Thank God for the rain. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white.
And where the truth is needed now more than ever. The swirling lies, misinformation, and disinformation, and the war on truth.
That's right.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes, no kidding.
Wow.
Right. And, you know, the first book that I wrote, The Perils of Sustainable Development, a lot of that research shows that the man and biospheres map that Dr. Kaufman put out. In fact, I spoke to him on the phone to get permission to use his map in my book. And what that map describes and described back then, I mean, my book came out in 2012, but the UN's playbook is, it hasn't changed. And so Agenda 2130 is still current today.
Absolutely.
And so what that man in biospheres map describes that Dr. Kaufman pointed out was that the United Nations has the whole United States mapped out already,
right,
as to where they consider people, you know, where they want people to live.
Right.
They've already mapped it out.
Through wildlife corridors and
right,
things like that.
Yeah. And acceptable places for the population to live.
Right.
And
they want us to be in 15-minute ghettos.
Right. Yeah, they want us all to be in sustainable cities.
Right.
And so all the rural areas in this map is described as not available for human use.
Yes.
And so looking back at that map and reflecting upon how we are starting to see them make progress, you know, way back then, even, you know, this is 11, 12 years ago already.
Right.
And now, you know, because of Trump upsetting the whole UN cart and getting rid of so many of their sustainable development plans in our nation, well, now we're seeing it come back because they had to pick up and make up for time
right,
that they've lost. And so now we're starting to see all of these mass coordinated fires that, you know, this is they've had this on their agenda for the past 20, 35 years. They plan everything 20 years in advance minimum.
Right.
And so it's interesting to see that all these fires are now suddenly just happening, and they're all happening in what looks like a very coordinated manner.
Right.
And, you know, as means of clearing out areas where they don't want the population to be,
yep,
and forcing people into sustainable cities, which they've already had planned and designed for decades now. And so we just want to point out a little bit more about that today.
Right.
And kind of go into some of those details, especially with all of the fires that have happened across multiple states in the whole western side of the United States so far.
Right. Well, and Canada.
That's
over
right,
on the east side and the west. I mean, there are fires burning north of the American Redoubt in Canada. If you look at the map, you pull back from the fire map, and the Idaho Department of Fish and Game map is kind of an official go-to map. It's not just fish and game.
Right.
But, and it's not just Idaho either. I mean, if you draw back, you can see all the fires in the West, Oregon, California, Nevada, Montana. There are fires all over the place.
That's
and
right,
more being started almost by the hour, because
yep,
I have a computer automated dispatch that gives you minute by minute as soon as a call goes out and it's dispatched, and plus the updates. And we'll talk about that more, because there are some things that kind of came to light over the last few days with these fires. Numerous, right. Cheney being evacuated on Friday, and some suspicious activity,
right,
that we need to be on the lookout for. And we'll talk about that, you know, after the word of the day.
That's right. Well, because even it's, you know, you're describing Kelowna and all of the Pacific Northwest and the Western United States, as we already saw with Hawaii and Maui, as far west as that. And also Spain, a forest fire is raging on the island of Tenerife, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. At least 3,000 people have been evacuated as the fire spread to 741 acres, and authorities cut off access to the forest surrounding the Mount Teide volcano. And that's not volcano related. It's just a forest fire. But also interesting to find out that, you know, I mean, this stuff could very well be coordinated at a global level.
I believe it is, because France, same thing. Tourists running for their lives just last week with wildfire sweeping through that southern region in France, which took out like 500 hectares. The one you're talking about in Spain, we've got Canada, Maui of all places.
Right.
And, you know, there are so many aggravating, suspicious things going on with that. And, you know, it really goes kind of ties in with the climate movement, the climate cult.
Right.
And so, yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll get right to it.
All right. So let's get to the word of the day. Stick to God's word and be grounded and well grounded.
That's right. Well, okay. And so this is not a random turning, but this did come up in a random sermon that we watched on Saturday. And so I wanted to point out something that's quite interesting, considering what we're facing, what the world may be facing with wildfires. And so the word of the day for Monochromatic Monday comes to us from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, which read, "Do not rob God. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." And that's it. And, well, you know, that's extremely appropriate, because, you know, we're talking about tithing.
Yes.
You know, here we're talking about wildfires. And you might be thinking, what on earth would they be talking about tithing for if we're facing wildfires, right?
Right.
But it's verse 11, the fact that it says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes,"
yes,
"so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field." And so,
and the devourer can come in many forms,
exactly,
including fire.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's extremely pertinent. Are you part of God's economic system? Are you contributing in a way that helps the church? You know, in fact, the pastor that we're listening to talk about this particular verse was Pastor Robert Morris, and I had never heard this before, but he describes an example where he says, okay, say that you three guys are going to work for me, and I tell you, I'm going to give each of you $10,000 a month if you will just pay my wife $1,000 each time I pay you. And they all agreed, and he comes back, and he says, and you know, the first guy, he gives her $1,000 every month faithfully, and the second guy comes along and he gives $2,000 faithfully just because he's a generous soul, and the third guy has only paid her $700 the first time, $400 the second time, and only, well, nothing the third time.
Right.
And so he says, and so why have you not paid my wife? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull all the funds that I have been giving to you, and I'm going to distribute those back to the other two who are responsible with what I gave them.
Right.
And since you have proven that you can't be trusted with what I've given you, even though it was such a minimal amount that I required that you give to my wife, that now you're cut off.
Right.
And so the interesting part there, I thought, well, that's kind of funny that he chose that a wife, you know, that he wanted these people in the example to give to his wife. And yet he explained that. He said, and what does the Lord call the church?
His bride.
Yep. His bride. And I went, oh, wow, I have never put that together before.
Right.
I've never heard that the tithes go to support his bride.
Yes.
I went, that's phenomenal.
The church, the body that's doing his work to support them.
That's
so
right.
They can continue in their ministry and their work and blessing others.
Right. Yeah. And so here he is. We're the bride of Christ, and he's trying to provide for us.
Right.
What a fantastic thing. He's our father. He's our husband, which means he's our provider.
Yes.
He's the one that takes care of us. And well, not only that, he's our friend. He's our Lord. He's our savior. And
yep.
So I just found that fascinating. And so, you know, just the fact that here we are concerned, are we, you know, these fires are totally out of control and getting, you know, worse by the day with all of this, what we're watching to be coordination. And so if we're not tithing, we're unprotected.
Right.
We have fallen out from underneath his shield, his umbrella, his protective wings of covering. Right.
Right.
And so you might really take a look at that if you're not currently tithing, or if you feel like you can't afford to tithe. I'd have to say you can't afford not to.
Well, exactly. And there are some in the New Testament church, the modern church, that argue that's an Old Testament thing, we're not required to do that. But you know,
Robert Morris, he pointed out, he said, but that's a fallacy because it describes tithing 8 times in the New Testament, and
right.
One of those times it was even Jesus himself that says to tithe.
Right. So they're arguing that, well, we're not actually commanded to tithe. Well, how's that working for you? You know, I mean,
right.
Do you want to be obedient to the Lord? Do you want to keep the Sabbath or not?
Right.
You know, because, well, that doesn't apply to us. That's, or whatever. But do you want to do what the Lord wants you to do?
Right.
Because whether or not you can rationalize and say, well, it's not a commandment, he still says to do it. You can take it as a commandment or choose not to take that as a commandment, but he still says to do it, and you're blessed for doing it, and your protection is removed when you don't, or it can be.
Right.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to serve the Lord in every way that you can?
Right.
And, you know, so there's kind of this, you know, this debate going on in, you know, in some circles of the church, but
well, and
it's pretty clear he says to do it.
Right. And what's even more interesting is Pastor Robert Morris, he points out the most interesting question there is, why would you not want to tithe?
Right.
Why is it that you would want that to not be part of the requirement? Why would you, you know, why would you be struggling so hard to say that that's under the law, and now you're no longer under the law? Why would you be struggling so hard against that? Same thing with, like, he says, if you fail to do what you're told, you fall out from under grace, and then you're subject to the world and the law again, which is the curse. So essentially, he describes that you're essentially placing yourself back under the curse of the worldly system because you're not under the grace of God.
And if nothing else, it's a heart check.
Right.
Because are you a Christian saying, ooh, do I not have to do that? Because if I don't have to do that, I'm
certainly
not going
don't
to.
Want to. Yeah.
Right. Where's your heart at toward the Lord? Where you want to serve Him? You want to please Him? You want to try to find out what pleases Him and what He wants to see you do?
Right.
And so you try to find ways to get out of the "I have to." Oh,
right.
I don't have to, and so I won't. And the minimalist Christian,
right?
I'll do as absolutely as minimal as so is, even though everything was done for you to redeem your soul from hell,
right?
And the highest price possible was paid. We're trying to nickel and dime and figure out how we can pay the least.
How to be cheap?
How to
be cheap? Seriously, because
right.
Cheap is the opposite of generous giver, and the Lord loves a joyful, generous giver.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just the fact that you're given the opportunity to help His kingdom, that when you tithe to your church or you tithe to, you know, organizations that are helping Israel, those kind of things.
Or the
that
poor,
is,
or the orphans, or those in prison.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
All of those. That is an opportunity. That is a blessing to be able to help those people.
Right, and there's people out there saying, "Well, I'm not commanded to do that." So,
right.
I'm the minimalist Christian. I'll do as least amount as I have to, and still get into heaven.
Right, and that's so unfortunate of an outlook, because it's going to be when you get to heaven and you're standing there with the Lord and he's going over all of your fruits and saying, "Oh, let's see how, you know, where your fruits came and where you were productive," and he had crowns waiting for you over and over, just waiting, you know, that, you know, here's this opportunity where you had to give and to contribute to His people that were, you know, that needed help.
Right.
And you, time and time again, you went, "No, me first. No, me first.
They don't
no,
understand
me first."
What that means.
Right.
I mean, they're thinking in their minds a crown, like something you would get from, you know, Burger King. You know, I mean, they have no idea the concept of what those crowns and those rewards are.
Right.
And
well,
so they don't know, so they don't act like they know.
Right. Well, and so, you know, that's the interesting thing is the blessing is once you get to heaven and you get to show that you were like the Lord in that opportunity where you gave and you were happy to give because it pleased the Lord and it helped people that were in need. And that's where the crown comes in. You're given a crown for serving the Lord and being like the Lord at that mm-hmm. at that point. And so if you're failing, you're actually failing yourself big time in the long run.
That's right.
And so, you know, so we just want to point that out because as these fires are raging, I mean, this could very well be the devourer, you know, where
right.
the devourer is sent in. And, you know, the Lord is not rebuking the devourer because you've been denying help to His bride.
Right.
You know, and so we want you all to be covered. We want you to have every possible blessing that the Lord has for you.
Yeah, we want us to be covered.
Well,
you know,
yes,
sure.
Exactly. And we tithe. And so, and gladly tithe.
With a joyful heart, cheerful heart.
That's right. I mean, well, truly, how could you not enjoy helping somebody?
Right.
And so that is the word of the day. And so take that to heart. And, oh, here's some other statistics about that only 10% of the church in America tithes. I was astonished to hear that.
That's not surprising.
10% is all that tithes. And some churches, apparently, they're up as high as like 40 to 50% of the church will tithe.
Wow.
And Pastor Robert Morris's church tithes at 70%. So his is way above average. But it's kind of shocking to think that only 10% of Christians are willing to give.
You know, and I'll bet the people that are engaged in their church, you know, volunteering and helping and actually being involved in some form of ministry in their church, probably is also reflective of that. About 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And that's common. So probably in his church and churches like that, he probably has a much higher percentage of the people that are actually involved in the ministries in that church.
Right. So let us describe the blessing waiting for you if you will get yourself back under the Lord's protective wing and under his shield, that he can rebuke the devourer on your behalf and tithe and help support the church, help support his bride, that all of our funds can be brought into his storehouse and redistributed to those in need.
There you go. All right, so what is that scripture?
So that is Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11.
Got it. Okay, good one. Thank you for that, Lady Liberty.
Praise God.
Okay, let's take a break. This segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. The website is prepping2-0.com. Check them out and stick around. We'll be back right after this. To God.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and 6-hour pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Welcome back to segment two of The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Hey, thank you guys. We updated our thermometer, our annual airtime fundraiser. The goal was $3,600. And so now we're up to like 12%, I think, of our goal.
Right.
I can't remember the percentage. But anyway, it's inching up there. So thank you, you guys. And, you know, if you already help out, we're so grateful. $5, $10, $20 a month. It all adds up. We're really grateful. If you want to give more or just a one-time donation to help knock that down. But if you do that for, you know, a one-time fee or one-time donation, make sure you annotate it, airtime, so we know exactly what to put it right toward. And we don't, you know, try to go buy a new tire that blew out or something with it. make sure that it actually goes toward airtime. All right.
Right.
All right. So yeah, these fires, Lady Liberty, we got, you know.
Yeah, we wanted to go into a little bit more of that detail because as we were describing last week, way back in 2014, well, starting in 2012, actually, we saw the globalists and Agenda 2130 eco freaks describing that the cows were to blame for all of the global warming. And they actually said it publicly that they would burn out the cattlemen and that they would start those fires. They said that publicly, and they even threatened one of the Washington representatives who was a cattle farmer.
Right.
And that was on public record. And so they were very bold, very brazen about stating that we're going to burn you out.
Yeah.
And in fact, that was when in 2014, all of the fires started happening around this area where we're at right now in eastern Washington. And they were set. They were coordinated. There was arson, and people were caught. people, there was different people that were caught driving along the road and starting fires. Like every half mile, they'd stop and they'd light something else on fire next to the side of the road.
Yep.
And, you know, they've been caught by cops doing this. And so now we're seeing this happen again. And so we, you know, especially with Hawaii and Maui first, and now all of a sudden this massive eruption of all these little coordinated fires across multiple different states happening all at the same time.
Right.
It's like, it's almost like the people at the UN said, okay, it's time to flip the switch. You know, they just released Sound of Freedom, and they're going to put the kibosh on all of this pedophilia. We need to get this thing started.
Right.
And, you know, when they're talking about removing, you know, people out of the rural areas by setting fires and forcing them into sustainable cities. And, you know, we're watching that happen on Maui, where people are not being allowed to return.
Yes.
And, you know, here their water was even turned off so that they couldn't even use the water to try to put the fires out.
They connected to fire hydrants and there was no water.
Right.
Now, not on Maui, but on Hawaii, one of those wildfires, the police are looking for a man on a green four-wheeler who was seen starting that fire.
Right.
Now, here locally, just last week, what caught my attention, I think it was the Liberty Daily, a climate cultist arson starts fires and arrested in Seattle.
Right.
I looked, and these fires were actually in Spokane. This was last week they arrested this woman.
That's right.
And she threatened to burn down City Hall, too. And also one of the fires on Friday with the high winds, we've got multiple fires, multiple evacuations. One of those, a citizen reported seeing somebody on a motorcycle, a dirt bike, throw basically a Molotov cocktail, like a gasoline-filled bottle with a burning rag.
Right.
Started one in North Spokane.
Yep. And luckily, all the neighbors that saw it, they all ran and put it out.
Right.
And that wasn't even one of the 10 or 12 fires that were started simultaneously. And other people in Idaho, they saw the same thing. A couple different guys on dirt bikes throwing bottles with rags in them into the ditches and setting fires that way. And so clearly, we are looking at coordinated arson attack.
Yep. Even though the fact checkers are denying it, they're saying there's no arson connected to any of these. Well, what's happening on the ground isn't reflecting their lie cover up.
That's right.
So, all right, guys, well, you be safe out there. Be very safe. And join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. right here.
That's right. You all have a marvelous monochromatic Monday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.